Good morning, everybody. There is a Mishnah in Erevin, the last Mishnah in the first Perek. The Mishnah writes that there were four special dispensations, four kulas that the Tanoim introduced with respect to the Machaneh, when the soldiers are in an army camp. Thank you very much. Levim, Eitz, and Mikol Mokam, they're permitted to steal logs, even though they belong to a private person, if they need the logs in order to cook food, in order to keep warm their chili. Upturim, Chitz, and Sedaim, they don't have to wash until the Sedaim before they eat bread, until the Sedaim is only Midi Rabbanon, so they don't have an unlimited supply of water. So my Machreinim, the Gemara says, they do have to wash, because that's a Sakona. If you're going to rub the salt into your eye, you can lose your eyesight. But my Rishainim is only a mitzvah, there's no Sakona. So the Chachamim said the soldiers in the army don't have to wash until the time. Demai, they're permitted to eat. Demai, the Gemara has a machlokes, Bisham and Bisil. So wheat paskin is permissible, and there's no need for a ruve chatzeris. If they have an area that should require, it's a reshus hayoch menatarim, and the Rabbanan, Meshulam HaMelech made a takon, you have to make an ruve chatzeris. So for the soldiers in the army, we make them. So the Rabbeinu Hananel on the side of the Gemara, printed in the Vilna Shas, quotes a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi on that Mishnah where there's a machloikis, how many soldiers do you need to be together on the army base and the camp that it should have the status of a machne? So he quotes two opinions. One opinion is Asara, 10 soldiers, and one opinion is 12,000 soldiers. Where do you get the magical number 12,000 soldiers? Because in the end of Chumash, Bamidbar, when the Chumash mentions about the Melchemes Midyan, so it says that they drifted elef lamata, shnei maser elef chalutzei tzavo. The whole army consists of 12,000 soldiers. The Chazon Ish there on Erevin, in number 3 in the Maor Mekoymes, he elaborates upon this. So he quotes that there are really three opinions in the Yerushalmi. And he thinks the accepted opinion is that it's 10. If you have 10 soldiers on the base, then it's considered a Machne Yisrael. What do you mean 10 soldiers? One soldier is over there, one soldier is all the way over there, scattered out all over the place. He thinks, no, 10 soldiers have to be close to each other. How close do they have to be? Close enough that you would be able to be mitzaref them for a minyan. And how close is that? So if you have 10 people in one room, they're mitzaref yachad to a minyan. If you have 10 people al pnei hasadeh, how close do they have to be that they're mitzdarfim? So the Chazon Ish writes in the second paragraph in number 3, the paragraph that begins with nireh, so he writes, at shivim ama v'shirayim kishir tziruf ir. That's Mishnayis in Erevin, that in order, there are dinim that depend on ir. Tchum Shabbos depends on ir. If you have, if a person has a house in the middle of the desert, he has al pnei mama in every direction. If a person has a house in the middle of the city, so the whole city is considered kedalat hamzdami, then you have alpai mama outside of the city. So where does the city end? What's considered the end of the city limits? So what constitutes a city? That's another story. Alpidin, just if you have a bunch of houses, that's not called a city. You have to have a couple of chatzeris, and each chatzer has to have two batim. That's a question, Bismanazeh. We don't have the Ramosas, we don't have any more chatzeris, Bismanazeh. So if you don't have a chatzeris, how do you ever have a city? So that's a major problem. How do you have alpidin? No one should be allowed to walk from his home more than 22 and a half minutes. That's a sheer mil. That's Tchum Shabbos, says alpai mama is 1 mil. It's approximately the distance that you reach if you walk 22 and a half minutes. Usually they assume 18 minutes. Mishnah Berurah says 18 minutes is a sheer mil. And the later Sfarim write, it's not accurate. It's really 22 and a half minutes. So how can anybody walk more than 22 and a half minutes in any city if ain lanu chotzer bizman hazeh, the Ramosa, we don't have any chotzer, the definition of in the year is you have to have gimel chotzeres, and each chotzer has to have a minimum of two batim. So if there's no chotzeres, how do you have it in the year? That's a major problem. Okay, but so the Mishnah is a Masech Hazerevin have, you have your gimel chotzeres, and then you have to have a minimum population also. Okay, you have to have a minimum population of 100 people who live there kavua. That's a question of what says kavua. Kavua means 10 years, 1 year, 30 days, how long, half a year, what's considered kavua. So you have an ear, and then if you keep on having houses, every house is within 70 amas to the other house, it's considered an extension. The city keeps on extending out. So one would have gotten the impression that Shivim Amah v'Shirayim, 70 and 2/3 of an Amah, is based on a Pasuk in Chumash, that Shir. So that Shir 70 Amahs, one would have thought that has to do with the configuration of a city. When is a house mitzurip to the house that's next to it? That the city keeps on extending if the houses are attached to the ground, Shivim Amah v'Sham. So the Chazon Ish applies it very mechudishdik. He applies it to human beings, people. If there's a soldier over here and a soldier over there, if the soldiers are within, they're not attached to the ground. You're not talking about the configuration of the city. If the soldiers are within 70 amas to each other, and you have 10 soldiers, each one is within 70 amas to the other, they would be mitztarif to a minyan, to say, Kadosh Kedusha Baruch Hu, and the melech, they would mitztarif him, they'd be considered a machne Yisrael, to be considered an army base. Then he writes the last two, the next paragraph, Yerushalmi Sham, third paragraph in the third section, the Chazon Ish, the Haminim Apikursim Sheim Mitzarif Mosim La Sora. People who are for the purpose of Dovish Bigdusha, the Rambam writes in a tshuva that you can't be Mitzarif and Apikurs. Apikurs Dinikin Nochri. So he writes Eim Ashlimim La Sora Shal Machne. If you want to establish that it has a din of Machne Yisrael, has a status of a Jewish army base. So he thinks that we paskin that it's 10. Doesn't depend on 12,000, doesn't depend on 100. The shear is 10. He quotes from the Mishnah like that. He says that the 10 have to be people who will be mitztarfim to a minyan. It's interesting. Then he has in the next paragraph, the Chazon Ish, the paragraph that begins with the words, Udiyason Allah. He says also, let's say you have in the British army, you have a Jewish brigade that's all Jewish people. So that's not called Machne Yisrael. It's only considered a Machne Yisrael if it's sponsored by a Jewish government. Even if it were true, what the Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, even if it were true that she's Jewish and she is a descendant, but she's not the Queen over Eretz Yisrael. It's only called a Malchus Yisrael if you have a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. And the perception is that it's a Jewish government. We'll get to that. You have number four, number five, the opening Mishnah, Maseches Rosh Hashanah. It says, Abo Rosh Hashanah, there are different dates in the calendar that have the status of Rosh Hashanah. So with respect to Melochim, they used to have a practice that would write down in a shtar how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina, since its government was established. So they didn't have to remember that the government was established in 1776 on July 4th. And every year, when it comes July 4th, he changed the number. No, Rosh Hashanah, there's a cutoff point. Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Umas Olam, and Echad B'Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yisrael. So it was a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, even if the Melech was appointed yesterday, the last day in Adar. When it comes Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you already write Shana Shnei L'Melech Pleni. And if it's a Goyisha government, and Eretz Yisrael, or anywhere in the world, even if the Goyisha king was appointed in the middle of Elul, the land of Elul, when it comes Echad B'Tishrei, so he writes Shana Shnei L'Melech Ploni. And the Ran points out on the Rif that's halacha, that's not some convention, that's kach nemer halacha, like that. It's another comment why. So the Gemara there, number six in the Mar Mekoymus, the Gemara there has a contradiction in Psukim and Tanakh with respect to Artaxasta. Artaxasta is the king in the beginning of Nehemiah. And in our Tanakh, we have a tradition that 24 Sforim, the 24 Kisri HaKodesh. So by us, Ezra Nehemiah is one Sefer. That's how the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The Gemara gives a whole explanation why Nehemiah doesn't deserve to be considered a separate Sefer. He did something improper, and he doesn't deserve to have the Sefer Nikral Shmai. And we usually use, unfortunately, the Christian Bible, so we consider it as if Nehemiah is a separate book. As there's one book, Nehemiah is another book. So in the first Rashi, on the book of Nehemiah, Rashi writes, who was this Nehemiah? He quotes from the Midrashim, Nehemiah was the son of Esther Hamalka. Esther Hamalka lived with Achashverosh, Vayolad Banim Babanas, and when the old man died, so Artaxasta took over. He was a Goy Gomer, he didn't have any Jewish education whatsoever, but by accident, he was Jewish. His mother was Jewish, he was Jewish. B'mimikre, he was the king over Eretz Yisrael, because his father, Achashverosh, was the king of the Sheva Yesem in Meir Medina, king of 127 Medinas. And one of the 127 Medinas happens to be Eretz Yisrael, Ad Chatzi HaMalchus. The Gemara says Chatzi HaMalchus means Beis HaMikdash. Achashverosh was prepared to do anything for his darling, his beloved wife, Esther Baran, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That was Ad Chatzi HaMalchus. The Gemara had a tradition that the story of Esther happened before the completion of the building of the Second Temple, and he wasn't prepared to complete the building. So the Gemara has a contradiction between the various psukim in Tanakh. What status did the government of Artaxerxes have? Did it have the din of Malchus? How did it have the din of Malchus? Alpi Mikra, he happened to be Jewish, and Alpi Mikra happened that he was the king over Eretz Yisrael. But he wasn't religious. He wasn't religious. So the Gemara has theorists. Some of the psukim treat him as Malchus Yisrael, that the new year begins with Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Some of the psukim treat him as a melech van the Malchus Umas Oilam. So the Gemara says in number 6 in the Mar Mekoymes, Mekoma Kashe, it's a contradiction. Amar Rabbi Yitzchok Loi Kashe. The answer to this contradiction is Kadin Kadim Shehechmitz, Kan La'acha Shehechmitz. His mother had influenced him a little bit that I'm Jewish, you're Jewish, we're all Jewish, and you have to support the cause of rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. So there was, and then the mother died, Esther HaMalka died. So the first couple of years after Esther HaMalka died, he was still under the slight influence of her mother. He didn't observe any mitzvahs, he wasn't given any Jewish education, but it meant something to him that he's a Jewish king ruling over an Eretz Yisrael. And then after years after the mother passed away, the whole influence wore off, and it didn't mean anything to him. What do you mean he's Jewish, he's ruling over it? So it didn't mean a thing. So it calls man that there was a perception, calls man that it meant something to him that he's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So his government had the status of Malchus Yisrael. And La'acha Shehechmetz, after he turned into vinegar, Chaymetz is vinegar, means when you have something, when you have wine, and it gets spoiled, so it's no good. So after he's spoiled, after the slight influence that his mother Esther HaMalka had over him wore off, and it didn't mean anything. So then, just because Alpi Mikra, even if the Queen of England is Jewish, and even when the British were in control of Eretz Yisrael, it didn't. I don't think it meant anything. What, she's a Jewish queen ruling over Eretz Yisrael? Even if it would be true, that wasn't the perception. It didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything to anybody else. So that was not. That's not called Malchus Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish writes in that fourth paragraph in this section here, with the Ason Alor in number 3 in the Maariv Kaim, the Chazon Ish writes, he thinks that the special status of Machne Yisrael, you can only talk about there is Melchemes Mitzvah, there's Melchemes Rishus. The only time you discuss Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes Rishus, is if you have a Jewish government that sponsors a Jewish army, and you have at least 10 soldiers together within Shivim Amah B'Shirayim Achidish, within the Posh Pshat, when you learn Arabic, Shivim Amah is a Shir and Tziruf of houses that are attached to the ground. The configuration of the city. So the Chazon Ish comes up with the Chiddush here. Shivim Amah is a tziruf of people. If you have people al pnei hasada, they're mitzarfim to a minyan, if they're within Shivim Amah to each other. And then these 10 people, if they're observant to the extent that you can mitzarf them to a minyan, if you have a Jew who became a meshumad, or a pekoris, an atheist who doesn't believe in anything, then you can't be mitzarfim to a minyan. So if these people could be mitzarfim to a minyan, then you mitzarf them to the minyan to be considered Machne Yisrael. What is this inyan of being mitzarf zayin to a minyan? So the Gemara in Brochus learns out the halachas that you're not permitted to daven, you're not permitted to learn Torah where there's erva or there's tzoa or there's meiraglaim. So the Gemara learns it out from the psukim that speak about the soldiers in the army. You should be careful about erva, and then you should be careful about tzoa, and sometimes about meiraglaim as well. So the Gemara learns it out from those psukim. So the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, raises a question. I don't have this in the Mar Mekoymes. What do the psukim have to do with learning Torah or davening? Who says that the soldiers are davening? Why do you have to have Nikoyan Hamachim for the army base? So the Netziv comes up with a fantastic chiddush. This is in his Hakdama to his commentary on the Shiltas. It's called Kidmas Ha'emek. Originally, the Netziv published his commentary on the Shiltas in 3 different volumes, as Bereishis Shmos in 1 volume, Vayikra in the 2nd volume, and Bamid with Varm in the 3rd volume. That's how it is now. But at the beginning of each volume, he wrote a long hemshech of Kidmas Ha'emek, a Hakdama. His commentary is called Ha'emek Sha'ola. on the Shilta, Zaymik Shola. So Kidma, so Amik is the Hakdama to his commentary, but it's really a Hakdama to all of Torah Shabbat Peh. He writes about Torah Shabbat Peh. It's all about how it was developed and how it was transmitted from generation to generation. So now they put all of the three Hakdamas. The first volume has the beginning of the Hakdama, the second volume has a second Chelik, and the third volume has a third Chelik. So now that Masada Rav Kook reprinted all of the Shiltas with the Nitziv's commentaries, so they put all of them together and they sell it as a separate sefer also. The Kidma Soemek, the three Hakdamas together. So in that Hakdama, he poses this question and he explains. He explains based on many passages in the Gemara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes Mohammeds in the world. People claim that the Jews are at fault for everything, right? Jews are at fault for all the wars in the world. So the Gemara says that it's true. The Gemara says we are at fault for the Korean War, the Cambodian War, every war, Afghanistan. Everything is our fault. What do? Because we do Bittul Torah. Because of our Bittul Torah, that's why there are wars in the world. So if we get the hint and we learn, then all the wars will end. If you don't get the hint, then the Ribbono Shel Olam causes the wars to come closer to us. And if you still don't get the hint, then he causes the wars, causes us to be involved in the wars. But the Gemara has such a tradition that every war in the world is our fault because of Bittul Torah. So the Netziv has a whole arichas on this. Omdus ha'ir agleinu b'sharayich Yerushalayim is one of the many he quotes. Netziv was a fantastic bucking. He quotes many marmekoyimus. He says, Omdus ha'ir, Gemara Makkah says, the Jewish army was successful in battle b'sharach Yerushalayim and Neschus of the Shorim HaMetzionim HaAlocha, the yeshivas in Yerushalayim, where they're learning. So that's where they were matzliach on the battlefront. So the Netziv has a wild suggestion that whenever they went to battle, they would always have a group of soldiers on the front who were sitting and learning. So when the Chumash says you have to be careful for Tzoy Meraglayim, because they're learning, that's why. Because the soldiers in the front are learning. That doesn't say in the Gemara. The Gemara said, Bisharaich Yerushalayim. The Gemara says, they're learning in the yeshivas in Yerushalayim, in the schools of their learning, that's why they're matzliach. So others say, not like the Netziv, they say the Poshib Shat and the Pasuk itself explains why. Why do you have to have Nikoyan HaMokom? Why do you have to be concerned about Erva and Soya when you're learning Torah? Exactly. Why do you have to be careful when you say brachas when you're davening? Because you're talking to the Shechina. So here the Pasuk says, Liyor b'chayvasa dava shov mi'acharecha, ki Hashem alakecha misalich b'kerav machanecha, lahatzi lecha, v'losa sayvecha b'yonecha, v'hoya machanecha kodesh. The Pasuk promises that the Shechina will be with the soldiers. You'll have a hashuas hashechina, so you have to be careful with nikoy and amokim. It shouldn't be erva, shouldn't be tzoy, shouldn't be raglaim, out of respect for the Shechina. So who had dinami? The Gemara understood, and there's only, and that's what the Chazon Ish says. If you have 10 soldiers who are right to be mitzarev to a minyan for the purpose of a davar shebikdusha, so this is like a davar shebikdusha, fighting Mohammed Hashem to fight in the Jewish army. If you have 10 soldiers who are right to be mitzarev to a minyan, if the apikursim is not. So if you have a Jewish army sponsored by a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael, the Queen of England is Jewish, that has nothing to do with this. But if you have a Jewish government ruling over Eretz Yisrael, or Yeshua ben Nun, when he was conquering Eretz Yisrael, he had a din of Melech. When you had the Palmach, before the Medina was established, so there was no Jewish government Bechlal. But in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, before they established the Medina, Yeshua ben Nun had a din of a Melech. Moshe Rabbeinu had a din of a Melech. So the army that was sponsored by Yeshua ben Nun had a din of Machne Yisrael. So now, if you have a Jewish Medina, again, one can debate how religious the government is in Eretz Yisrael, but it's certainly more, it certainly has more of a perception of being a Malchus Yisrael than Artashasta. Artashasta had no Jewish education whatsoever. He didn't keep anything. But Kodem Shehechmetz, when the influence of his mother Esther was still upon him, and it meant something to him, he's a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So his government over Eretz Yisrael had a status on Malchus Yisrael. Acha Shehechmetz, everything was totally secular, so then no longer, his government no longer had the status on Malchus Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael today, the perception in the whole wide world is that it's a Jewish Medina. That's why there's so much hatred towards Eretz Yisrael. Just ask the Russians. Ask any country in the world. Everybody knows Eretz Yisrael is a Jewish Medina. So if the perception is that it's a Jewish Medina, So it has a status of Malchus Yisrael. So the army that they'll have will have the status of a Machna Yisrael if you have 10 soldiers close enough together, 10 people who are roy to be mitzdarif to a minion. This itself is a dovish b'kedusha. Kol be'asara shchinta sharyam. Whenever you have 10 people, Rav Soloveitchik used to say, what do you mean you have 10 people reading the Morgen Shanal? So you have shchinta sharyam. No, you have 10 people who want to say Kadosh Kedusha Baruch Hu. So here the Pasuk says, if you had 10 people who wanted to be loichem l'chamas Hashem, and they're near each other, so Hashem alakech mesalach b'kerach machanecha l'hatzilecha, the Shechina promises they'll be there. If you have 10 people, you need kol be'asar Shechin tesharyim. So just like l'kovet d'Shechina, you have to have kedusha samachana when they're fighting a battle, so too, l'kovet Shechina, if you're learning Torah, you're davening, you have to have kedusha samachana. That's the poshup shot, not like the netziv, that they had 10 people on the front who were learning. All the Marmakams that he quotes point to this, that all the wars in the world are the fault of the Jewish people, and we don't get the hint because we're being Bebatal Torah. The Mishnah has in Pirkei Avos that there are specific onshim that are miyuchad for specific averis. So it says, Alivus Adin, and Kilkul Adin, and paskening incorrectly and not learning Torah, so Cherub Ol Olam, all the Muhammads in the world. That says in Pirkei Avos, he quotes many, many Marmakams, but the last point that he said, that they used to have soldiers on the front who were learning, that doesn't say anywhere. Number 7, the Mishnah in Saita distinguishes between Melchemes Mitzvah and Melchemes Orishus, that the Chayzer Meyorche Cham Melchoma, Mehu Yishu Shabbana Bais Velochanoch, Mehu Yishu Shunate Keren, and so on. That only applies, the exemptions only apply to Melchemes Orishus. By Melchemes Mitzvah, it doesn't apply. So it's important to know what's a Melchemes Mitzvah, what's a Melchemes Orishus. But it doesn't have the status of either, unless you have a Jewish government sponsoring this army, and then you have 10 people together, who 10 people are roy to be mitzdarf to min of shadabash b'kedusha. Then you can talk about either Melchemes Mitzvah or Melchemes Orishus. The Chazon Ish, in that piece that we quoted before, number 3, at the end of the first paragraph, he refers you to a Gemara in Erevin Mem Hei Amud Aleph, which is quoted in Hilchas Shabbos. It says that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh. That's a entry. Then the Gemara says, in the Shulchan Aruch quotes, you're permitted to be Mechal Shabbos if need be for Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That's a Melchemes Mitzvah. Yeshua ben Nun was Mechal Shabbos, and they conquered Yericho. Yericho, every day they went around seven. They went around one time, in the 7 day they went around 7 times, and the walls of Yericho fell down. And that was on Shabbos, that tradition has it. The Gemara said the 7th day was Kibush Yericho was on Shabbos. So the Gemara establishes a din. Kibush Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun was a din on Melchemes Mitzvah. And if need be, one is permitted to be Mechal Shabbos for the purpose of Melchemes Mitzvah, even though there's no Sakonis Nefoshes to anybody. So the Gemara says a din, it's Nagei Halacha L'maisa today. If the goyim come to the cities that are on the border, and they want to take Tevin Bekash. They don't want to kill anybody. They just want to steal. Or they want to take over part of the city. So the Gemara says that has to do with Kibush Eretz Yisrael in the first place, or maintaining Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control, under Jewish sovereignty. So that has a status of a Melchemes Mitzvah. This is provided that one believes that the government in Eretz Yisrael is a Malchus Yisrael. There are many people who don't believe like that. They believe it has a din of a government. Malchus HaMasun, but doesn't have a din of Malchus because they're not religious. The Pashtus is that it's certainly better than our Tachshasta, Kodim Shehechmet. I would assume that it does have a din because the perception all over the world certainly is that it is a Jewish government. And that's why there's so much hatred towards Medina Sisrom. So the Pashtus is that if need be, one is permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos to maintain Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control. That has the status of a Melchemes Mitzvah. Many years ago, Rabbi Schlesinger had the people in Kibbutz Alavi be Mechal Shabbos because the Arabs were coming to take over part of the area there based on the United Nations regulations. Whoever would have moved their tractors in on that Shabbos would be able to claim that area. So he paskin l'alocha. That people had tainas against him. So he came to America and he attended the Aguda convention that year. This was a long time ago. And he said over the dinim. He said over what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Shabbos, that for the purpose of Kibush Eretz Yisrael in the first place, or maintaining Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control, if it has a din of Malchus Yisrael, then the din says you're permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos. this obligated, permitted and obligated to be Mechal Shabbos and wage war and all these dinim, Melchemes Mitzvah, Melchemes Rishus, this is only whenever you go to Melchama, so you're going to be killing people and you're going to be putting your soldiers into Sakana. Both of them are in Issa. You're not allowed to kill a Nochri and you're not allowed to put Jewish lives into Sakana. So that's the special heter of Melchama. If it's a Melchemes Rishus, here in number 9, if you have a Melchemes Rishus, there's a famous Gemara, it's in Brochas, the beginning of Brochas. The Kimishol Amud HaShachar, Chach Misor, come to visit Dovin HaMelech. They tell him, we have no Parnas, Am Chisot Tzrichim Parnasa. So he says they should wage Melchemes Rishus. And then the Gemara says, Miad Yotzim Bachi Teufel, and Melachim Sanhedrin, Rishonim, Burim Betumim. And the Gemara explains, when you want to wage Melchemes HaRishus, you have to have authorization from the Urim Betumim and from the Sanhedrin. But when you wage Melchemes Mitzvah, you don't need any of that. Today, we don't have a Sanhedrin. They have a Sanhedrin there, so it's at the beginning, they're working on it, but it's not yet recognized as a real Sanhedrin. They certainly don't have an Urim Betumim. So today, there's nothing to discuss. You can't have any Melchemes HaRishus. The Eretz Yisrael, the Medina Yisrael, is not interested in waging Melchemes HaRishus. The only Melchemes Mitzvah. So this halacha that you go to war, either Melchemes Rishus, Melchemes Mitzvah, is only if you're going to be killing people, you're going to lose your own soldiers, you're going to put Jewish lives into sakana. This is only if you're pretty positive that you're going to win. If you're not sure you're going to win, you don't have the whole din of Muhammad, so you just have to make a calculation, which way will you save more Jewish lives? You just have to treat it like Bikoch Nefesh. But if, let's say, to maintain control of all of Eretz Yisrael, even if you know that you're going to lose Jewish lives, that's the halacha. That's a din of Melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes Mitzvah, you have to go worry even if you know you're going to lose lives. You can't consider the Minchas Chinuch says, Adav Poshut. You can't say Bikoch Nefesh is doicha the din of Melchemes. So no one will ever go to war. The general says, okay, I need this group of soldiers to go first. Whoever goes first is going to get killed. So the soldier's going to say, Koch nefesh is deicha, so no one's going to go to war. So you never have a war. So that's ridiculous. And every war, the principle of Pikoch nefesh is suspended. So if you recognize that the Medina Yisrael has a status of Malchus Yisrael, and the Memele, the Jewish army, has a status of Machne Yisrael, then you can talk about a Melchemes Mitzvah. If you have 10 soldiers together, B'makom Echad, then you can say you're permitted to put this Jewish soldiers' lives into Sakana. You're permitted to kill the enemy. You have a Heter Ritzicha, and you have a Heter Sikun, putting the Jewish lives into Sakana. Because that's a Din HaMelchamah. But if you don't accept that basic premise, that the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael has the status of Malchus Yisrael, so then there's no Din HaMelchamah, none of the Din HaMelchamah apply. Just have to make a calculation, which way will we save more Jewish lives? So this din, that when you have a melchama, so you have to ignore pikuach nefesh, and you're permitted to put the lives of the Jewish people into sakana, this only applies if you're pretty positive that you're going to win. If it's not so clear that you're going to win, then there's no mitzvah to go to war and to lose the wet battle. That's a famous Gemara in Gittin, number 8 in the Mar Mekaymes. This is the Gemara that a lot of people learn on Tisha B'Av, the Agadot of the Churban, that Abba Sikari was the nephew of Rabbi Yechemet Zakar. Rabbi Yechemet Zakar was the chief rabbi for 40 years before and after the Churban Abayis. And the nephew of Rabbi Yechemet Zakar was the head of all of the Jewish gangsters, the Jewish mobsters. So they met together, and Rabbi Yechemet Zakar asked them, what are you, Meshuggah? We lost the war already with the Romans. What do you keep on fighting them? We're going to lose all the Jewish lives. So he said he agrees with his uncle, but what can I do? These Mishugayim, the lunatics, they're going to kill me. They'll assassinate me if I tell them we should just surrender. But Rebbe Chaim Zaka says, I want to surrender to the Romans. What should I do? Your chevra are going to kill me. We should already surrender. Shain, there's no mitzvah to fight a Melchemes Mitzvah if you know you lost the war already. There's no Indian in fighting a Melchemes Mitzvah. The Neturei Karta always quotes this passage from the Gemara. Just like Rabbi Yechemet Zakkai surrendered to the enemy, so we should surrender also to the Arabs, we should give back Eretz Yisrael. There's a tzustal, it's a difference between night and day. Rabbi Yechemet Zakkai said, we lost the war already. There's no mitzvah to fight a battle that you're losing. But today in Eretz Yisrael, they feel that they're winning the war. Kol zman you maintain Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control. They hold that they're winning the war. That's the question. So there are those who claim we're not winning the war. Kol Zman that we have all of Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control, so the Arabs keep on attacking, and every day there's another pigua. They kill a baby, they kill an adult, they kill a rabbi, they kill a balabos, they're losing soldiers right and left. So we're losing the war. We're losing the war. And others feel, no, we're winning the war. Life in Eretz Yisrael is very comfortable, it's very nice. Unfortunately, every day there's another pigua. But they feel that they're winning the war. So that's a shaila. Are we winning the war or are we losing the war? If you're losing the war of maintaining Eretz Yisrael under Jewish control because the situation is so uncomfortable, and living in Eretz Yisrael is so uncomfortable, is it? So then, if you're losing the war, so there's no mitzvah to maintain Eretz Yisrael. You lost the war, so you should do like Rabbi Yechem HaZakai. But if you hold that you're winning the war, then you have a chiyuv to fight this melchemes mitzvah, even if we're going to be losing Jewish lives. So that's the question. Who's the one to determine whether we're winning the war or we're losing the war? So if we would have had a Sanhedrin, so they would paskin. Is this considered winning the war or losing the war? What's it then if you don't have a Sanhedrin? We don't have a Sanhedrin. So who decides this question? So that's a major topic of some other time. Okay. The Chumash says, here number 10, in the Maamar Kaimas, the Torah says, the Rambam quotes in the Chumash, Mitzvah Seseh, that every soldier should have a shovel, and when they have tzoya, they should cover it over, because of the requirement for Kedushas HaMachne. That's the end, that's the last halach in Perek Vav in Hilchas Malachim. In the first halach in Perek Zayin, the Rambam quotes the din, that you always have to appoint a Kohen Moshoch Mecham L'daber Ha'om, B'shas HaMelchama. What does the Moshoch Mecham say? So the Chumash says, he proclaims, Mihu Yishu Shabana Bayis V'lachanocha, Mihu Yishu Shanate Kerem V'lachila, Mihu Yishu Sha'eres Yishu V'loi L'kocha, that they're potter from the army, they can go home. And then he gives a pep talk also, he gives a whole drasha, Hashem Alkech Mesal B'kar Machanech L'atzi Lecha, no one should be afraid, they should be mechazik themselves, they're fighting for the sake of the Jewish people, fighting in Kiddush Hashem, he gives a shmuz. So the Rambam starts off that Perek Zayin, Echel Melchemes Mitzvah, Vechel Melchemes Arshus, Memanim Koin Ledaber Ha'om. We appoint a Koin Moshoch Mechama both by Melchemes Arshus as well as Melchemes Mitzvah. The Ravid argues with the Rambam and he says, Omer Avram, Efshali Azev, it doesn't make sense. Why do you appoint a Moshoch Mechama when you have a Melchemes Mitzvah? There are no exemptions. We had before in the Maamar Mekaymus, where was it? Number 7. That by Mechemes Mitzvah, none of the exemptions apply. So why should you appoint a Kohen Moshoch Mechama? So the Rabbit says it doesn't make sense unless he means that the Moshoch Mechama gives the second half of his drosha, the pep talk, to give them the chizuk. He leaves out the first half and he says the second, Amar Avram, Efshali is maybe what the Rambam means is, Efshali is Elinya Rayerach Levavchem for the Musa Shmuz. But when you get to the exemption, who's part of the army? It cannot be. That's what we read in number 7. So many years ago, Rav Soloveitchik printed a shtikl Torah Tifaremfer. Why the Rambam makes sense that you should have Moshoch Mechama even for that, even for the Pturim. Rav Zevin published a volume called Ishim Mishitos, one of the several volumes that he put out. So he has several essays about Muhammad, very beautiful essays. So he writes, I don't remember if it's in his volume Ishim Mishitos or it's in the other volume of the Or HaHalacha. The Or HaHalacha has several essays about Muhammad. And Ishim Mishitos writes about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he writes about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, then he writes about Rav Elvula Soloveitchik, then he writes about Rav Soloveitchik, who taught here in the yeshiva. So he writes that Rav Soloveitchik follows in the footsteps of his grandfather, the style of Limud, and the only Dvar Torah he had was this one, that the Rav Soloveitchik Faram for this Rambam. So punkt on this chiddush that Rav Soloveitchik had, he backed out. Because Rav Chaim Heller told him, Rav Chaim Heller published a new translation of the Sefer Mitzvah. Sefer Mitzvah, the Ram was originally written in Arabic, and we all use the translation. So Rav Chaim Heller, and the translation was an old one, different style Hebrew from the 1200s, whatever. So Rav Chaim Heller made a new translation. Every so often he pointed out that his mamash a mistake, and every so often he has a footnote. So Rav Chaim Heller has in the footnotes a comment on this difficult Rambam, because the Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvahs writes like the Raivin, that you don't appoint a Moshoch Mochama by Mochemes Mitzvah. You don't even appoint a Moshoch Mochama here, it's a number 12 in the Mar Mekaymes. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Kuf Tzadik Aleph is to appoint a Moshoch Mochama, and he should give a Musa Shmuz, and he should say the Pturim Me'orcha Mochama, and then he says further, and this is only by Mochemes Arshus, but by Mochemes Mitzvah, you don't appoint a Moshoch Mochama. The last three lines in number 12. V'zeh kulo, kloyma tochachas Moshoch Mochama v'ha'achraza v'yorcha Mochama. It's only by Mechemes or Shus. By Mechemes Mitzvah, you don't have it all. So the Rambam holds that you don't have either part, not the Chazim Yocham Alchama and not the Musa Shmus. Why? Because the Mishnah says, why is this in Masechus Saita? Why is Perach Mashoch Mochama in Masechus Saita? Has all the dinim al Mochama? Because the second half of Saita begins with the Perach Elun Amorim. It lists off which mitzvahs of Amira have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, and which mitzvahs of Amir can be fulfilled in translation. Let's say Kriya Shema. If a person does know Hebrew, can he fulfill Kriya Shema in translation? So the Mishnah quotes a Machlokes HaTanan, we paskin yes, that you can fulfill Kriya Shema in translation. And brachas, a person gets an aliyah, so he doesn't know how to say the bracha in Hebrew. So strictly speaking, say the bracha in English. Except for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who gets the aliyah, that's an aliyah deraisa in conjunction with the Hakrovas HaKarbonis. And when you make and when you have the hakel once every 7 years, so the melech lanes hakel, so the Mishnah says the bracha of the melech when he lanes hakel, the bracha of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be in the original Hebrew. And the Mishnah lists off, duchening has to be in the original Hebrew. Some mitzvahs, the raisa, have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, and some can be fulfilled in translation, it's all based on psukim. So the Mishnah says that when the Moshoch Mochama recites the parsha about the Pturim, the Yorcha Mocham, and the Tochacha has to be in the original Hebrew, and then they have people who say it over in translation that everyone should understand what he's talking about. So part of, why? Because he has to recite the parsha Kichsovai. So part of the din of Kichsovai is has to be in the original Hebrew. Another part of Kichsovai is has to say either the whole parsha or you don't say it all. You're going to say half a parsha and leave out the other half. That's also a lack of Kichsovai. So the Rambam understood in number 12 in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that since the Pturim Be'orcha Malchama don't apply by Mechemes Mitzvah, so the Kohen Moshoch Malchama doesn't even say the other half. The Tochacha, he says, you don't have any of this. The last three lines in number 12, Zekula Kolema, the Tochacha, with the Hachraza, everything only applies to Mechemes, or Rishus doesn't apply to Mechemes Mitzvah, because so Rav Soloveitchik printed a whole Shtigl Torah that when the Kohen Moshoch Mochama recites the Parsha of the Pturim, not only does he say the Divrei Tochacha, the Rambam sounds like he even says the Pturim Me'orcha Mochama also apply. And he showed there's an Afkemina, even a Mochemes Mitzvah, they have to go anyway, but not fully. One din does apply, the two din, and one din does apply, the other din doesn't apply. So Rav Chaim Mehala told him that it's wrong. He told him, look in my Sefer, and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, we have a footnote, and he makes a suggestion that the first line in number 11 in the Rambam, Echem Mochemes Mitzvah, Echem Mochemes Rishus, really is a mistake. It really belongs at the end of number 10. Number 10 and number 11 are one after the other. Number 10 is the last line in Perek Vav. Number 11 is the first line in Perek Zayin, in Hilchos Melachim. So Abchaim Heller thought that the first line in number 11 belongs at the end of number 10. It's a mitzvah says that every soldier should have a shovel to cover up with its tzayah, and that should end off Echem Mochemes Mitzvah v'Echem Mochemes Rishus Nekudatayim, period. That's the end of that chapter, and then the next chapter should begin Eman and Koin L'Dabar El Ha'om. Now they have so many manuscripts of the Rambam, and none of the manuscripts, this is not Oizgehalten, none of the manuscripts have this Haguah that Rav Chaim Mehler suggests, but the Rav Soloveitchik back there, Rav Chaim Mehler told him it's wrong, so it's wrong. That was the end. He didn't discuss it further. So it's interesting that Rav Zevin wanted to point out that Rav Soloveitchik follows in the footsteps of his grandfather with the Tzvei Dinim and with the Rav Kamina. So he picked out the one mashal on this Rambam that Rav Soloveitchik backed out because Rav Chaim Mehler told him that's a mistake. That the whole Rambam is a mistake. You don't appoint a Moshoch Muhammad. The Rambam is not going to contradict. There are contradictions between the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. But he thought that this one is simply a misprint in the Rambam. Who was drafted in the army? So we have many years ago when Ben Gurion was drafting women, so Rav Soloveitchik held the whole drasha here in the Lampard Auditorium. It was on a Yom HaTzmaut, I remember, at night. And the first half of the drasha was to praise Ben Gurion, to say what a wonderful person he is, and he's going to get Olam Haba, whatever, for Hakamas HaMedina, what he did, and the Jewish people believe in Hakoras HaTayv, and you have to give Hakoras HaTayv. The talk was in Yiddish, and then he said, Ober, however. And then the second half was a whole attack against the Giyus Banas, that's against our religion. According to the Halacha, you don't draft the women into the army. So that's the famous Gemara in Kiddushin, the first daf. The yeshiva bachim don't get too much into Kiddushin when they learn. But that base on the base, usually all the yeshivas learn that base on the base. So the Gemara has one line there. Darka shalish lasin zuchama, but darka shalish lasin zuchama. You don't draft women into the army. In fact, Rav Soloveitchik explained, the Chumash says that when you fight the Melchama, you only kill the soldiers, you're not allowed to kill the civilians. So the Pasuk says, Hanoshim v'hataf, you shouldn't kill. Why? Because they're considered civilians. Because years ago, taf means before the age of 20, they didn't draft anybody into the army, and women were never drafted into the army. So the Halacha says you're not supposed to draft.
Is that only for combat soldiers or what about support soldiers? You draft a woman to be a clerk.
But they're civilians.
Yes.
They're civilians.
So she's not drafted according to Halacha?
Not supposed to. Not supposed to draft women, no.
No, no. Can you draft for a clerk or not?
Yeah, if you need them. If you need them. If you're not out for a man, so you may. Yeah.
Because today, until recently, in the Israeli army, they didn't put women in combat.
Yeah, but now they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately. Yeah. We have some exceptions to the rule, where the Torah says we have to kill Noshim V'Hataf. So one of the exceptions to the rule is Amalek, because Amalek wanted to wage war against the Jewish people to wipe out men, women, and children. That was abnormal in the days of Tanakh, that an army should kill civilians. But Noik Sheba'ilam, armies only killed soldiers, they didn't kill civilians. So because Amalek wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, Anoshim, Anoshim, Atav. So the Torah tells us we should wipe out Amalek, Anoshim, Anoshim, Atav. And then the Torah says by the Zainumis, we also have to kill the women also, because that's not a din of Muhammad. That's a din of the Zechi of Misa on the Zainumis. It's a different halacha. But the halacha says that you don't draft women into the army, unless moms, you don't have enough soldiers to wage the war, so then you have to draft the. I have a brother-in-law who was fighting the Mechemet HaShechura. He was before Bar Mitzvah. Everybody was fighting. They didn't have enough people, so everybody had to fight, the men, the women, and the children. But if you have enough people, then you don't. Number 14, Rashi points out on Chumash. It says when they took the census in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar. So the Torah says you only count the people above the age of 20, call Yotzei Tzava B'Yisrael, only those who are drafted into the army. So Rashi says you see from the Chumash, Shein Yoy Batzava Pachas B'Medesim, not supposed to draft people younger than 20 into the army. So they do draft people younger than 20. The Pashto says that's against the Chumash. Chumash says you're not supposed to draft till the age of 20, unless you need everybody. But now they certainly don't need everybody. That's not really right. During the First World War, the Kohanim in Britain were complaining to the government they're not allowed to be Metamele Mesim, so you're not allowed to draft us in the army. Because you go in the army, you shoot to kill, there are going to be dead bodies all over the place. So the chief rabbi had to give a psak. I think the chief rabbi is Rabbi Nathan Adler, if I'm not mistaken. So he, with the Bezin, he in London, so he passed him that you do draft Kohanim. How do they know? So the Shabina Rav has a tshuva about this in the Sefer Doiviv Meisharim. So he quotes this Gemara, number 15 in the Marmakaimis, there is a din of Yifas Toya, in the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, that if the soldier is away from his family and he falls in love with this non-Jewish girl, so the Torah says we permit him under certain circumstances, we permit him to live with the girl. So the Gemara has a suffix, what if the soldier is a Kohen? A Kohen is not allowed to marry a Geiris, even if she would convert that of her own free will. So the Kohen has a double problem. A regular Jewish soldier has a problem. The girl is not Jewish, or according to some, you convert her against her wishes. So it's a Geiris Bal Koch, which usually is not accepted. So it is a special Chiddush. Chiddush means a davar hayotzei min haklal, an exception to the rule. So the Gemara says maybe the Chiddush only permits a regular Jewish soldier who's not a Kohen. I see they printed the wrong... Number 15, they printed the wrong two lines that I wanted. Yeah. The next two lines in the Gemara talk about what's the din if a kohen is a soldier, zimuta bifastoyer. I didn't check after they printed it. Okay. So you take a look in the Gemara Kedushin, the Gemara has a discussion, a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, and a whole discussion. So the Shebina Rav quotes, there's a Mordechai in Gittin. When the Mordechai discusses this topic, do you draft Kohanim into the army? So he says, Mordechai says, it's an often a Gemara in Kedushin. Gemara has the Shaila, whether the Kohen is Mutabi Fastoyer. What is there to discuss if the Kohanim are not drafted into the army? So obviously Kohanim are drafted into the army. This is, of course, on the assumption that you draft Shevet Levi into the army. That's what Rashi writes on Chumash. You send 1,000 soldiers in the Machemes Midyan, Chol Matos Yisrael. Rashi quotes from the Sifrei. That's the way we have the gears in the Sifrei. Chol Matos Yisrael, the Rabbi Shevet Levi. And that's why there were 12,000 soldiers. Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata, Shtei Masa, Elef Chalutzei Tzavor. There were 1,000 soldiers from Shevet Levi. The Rambam, in number 17, writes, you don't draft Shevet Levi. That's not the way it says in Asifrei. Asifrei says, like Rashi, according to the Rambam, not only don't you draft Kohanim, you don't draft Levim either. But according to our Sifrei, according to the Gemara, you draft Kohanim and you draft Levim. So that's what the chief rabbi Paskin at that time, during the First World War, that you do draft the Kohanim. Someone else, one of the other Rabbanim, is going to speak, I think, next week, about this topic, whether you draft Shevet Levi or not, so I won't be Masik Vul on him. And number 18, we'll close with this, number 18, the Rambam quotes the din, that's famous from the Gemara. The Pasuk says in Chumash Devarim, when we will wage war to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and we will find Batim Aleim Kol Tuva Shalom Ileisa Boros Chatzuv Mashalo Chatzavta Kramim Mizeisa Mashalo Natata Ve'chalta V'savata. Whatever you conquer, you can eat all the food. So it's understood some of the food is going to be treif. The Gemara says you can eat chazer. When they're conquering Eretz Yisrael, you're permitted to eat kadli the chazeri. You can eat chazer. They say that during, I don't know if it's true, during the Mechemet HaShekro, there wasn't enough kosher food to go around to all of the soldiers. So they gave the kosher food to the religious soldiers, and they gave the trefer food to the non-observant soldiers. So there was one famous character who was religious, and he said he wants the trefer food. The halacha says, Kadle lechazer is mutter. You're permitted. That's what they say, Leibowitz. The Chama Leibowitz's brother. It's, I don't know if it's true. They have a lot of agoras about him. That's one of the many agoras. Says mutter eat tray for food. He wants to eat the tray for food. So the Rama quotes this din. It's a Gemara in Chulin in the first parak. And the Rama writes. The Rama writes against that. It's only mutter kishiyira ve'ein la mayochel. Only if he's hungry and he doesn't have anything else to eat. They had kosher food for the religious. So according to the Rama, it's not so. And the Rama says he can even eat yayin nesach. And the Rambam writes that this is whenever the soldiers are fighting any battle. They're permitted to. The Ramban HaChumash quotes this Rambam. Ramban HaChumash often quotes Rambams. He had big respect for the Rambam. And he disagrees with 3 points. He says, Yayin Esach, that's an Isra has to do it Avodah Zarah. That's not just Stamach HaChumash. So he thinks that there's never a hetter to drink Yayin Esach. Then he says, Kishi Yirav, the Rambam cites, and the second line in the Rambam, Yirav, Elei Motza, Mayochal, if he's hungry, he has no food to eat. What do you mean? It's Pikoch Nefesh. Pikoch Nefesh is a different din. That's a separate halacha. This is even if he's not hungry, like Professor Latus Leibowitz's story. He said, even if the kosher food is available, the Ramban says, Achomish, you're allowed to eat the treif food. It's only not only Kishi Yirav, Elei Motza, Mayochal. And then the Rabban HaChumash disagrees with the Rambam. It's a special heter only in Kibush Eretz Yisrael. If it's a different Lachemes Mitzvah, the heter doesn't apply. So that's a famous comment that they quote from Rav Elvel HaSoloveitchik, that the 3 points in the Rambam are all toli zeh bezeh, that the Rambam understood that it's really a heter of pikuach nefesh. So what do you need a pasuk for? So the answer is no. There is no sakonis nefashit, but if a soldier is under tension, in the middle of a war, and he's hungry now, so under such circumstances, let's say, I didn't have any breakfast, I won't be able to have lunch. There's no pikuach, no sakonis nefashis. If later in the day I'll be if after two, three days I'll be hungry, then it'll be a sakonis nefashis. Then I'll be allowed to eat treifas. But a soldier in the army, if he's missing breakfast, it's already called the sakonis nefashis. That's why you need a new din over here. Under his circumstances, that's called a sakonis nefashis. And that's why the Rambam thinks that it applies not only on Kibush Eretz Yisrael. A soldier in the army, if he's going to miss one of the meals when he's hungry, that's called the Sofik Sakana. And that's why it's even Mutta Yayin Esach. It's not Avodah Zarah Mamish. It has to do with Avodah Zarah. Yai Nesach. It's not actual. You're not worshiping Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, we wouldn't permit b'makom pikuach nefashos. I remember a few years ago there was a melachah in Eretz Yisrael in the middle of the summer, in Melachemet Levanon. So it was the middle of the 9 days. So by mistake, they only sent fleshig meals to the soldiers. So the soldiers, they didn't want to eat the flesh in the 9 days. So the chief rabbi, by mistake, they sent only flesh. So the chief rabbi had it, and they wanted to fast on Tisha B'Av. So the chief rabbi had to scream them, how did Paschal, you have to eat the meals, and you have to eat on Tisha B'Av. The soldiers have to eat, they have to be strong, they have to be alert, they have to be able to function well. Yeah, Rachmana Litzlan, unfortunately, we still, these halachas are very halachalamais. We should be zeichet to the day that it'll all be.